Chapter 13, The Era of Huey Long. Rose McConnell was born in Indiana in 1892, but moved to Louisiana at age 9. After finishing high school, Rose taught school and later learned secretarial skills like typing and dictation. She was working as a secretary for an insurance company in 1910 when a chance meeting with a traveling salesman shaped her future. The 18-year-old salesman had helped organize a cake-baking contest to publicize a lard substitute he was selling. Using the product, Rose baked a bride's loaf cake. The salesman awarded her a prize and even awarded a prize to her mother. The sometimes rash young salesman was immediately attracted to Rose and proposed marriage right away. She declined at first, but after many visits and a long correspondence, she consented and married Huey Pierce Long in Memphis on April 12, 1913. Rose had to pay the minister $11 out of her own money because her new husband did not have enough cash on hand. Whether this upset her is not known, but it is clear that this would not be the only time her new husband would depend on her. Huey Long was not a conventional person, but he had an amazing memory and was willing to study for many hours a day. Calling on these strengths and Rose's skill at taking dictation and typing summaries of the books he had read, Long passed the bar exam and became a practicing lawyer in 1915. Huey set up a law practice, first in Winfield and later in Shreveport, but his ambitions were always political. Rose later recalled that early on, Huey had laid out a detailed plan he believed would lead to the presidency of the United States. Rose supported her husband's ambitions and helped with his early political campaigns. Huey Long became governor of Louisiana in 1928 and was elected to the U.S. Senate in 1930. He was planning a run for U.S. president when he died in 1935. Shortly afterwards, Rose was appointed and was later elected to finish out Huey's Senate term. During her year in office, Rose mostly stayed behind the scenes, but she worked diligently on behalf of Louisiana's people. Rose supported, stood alongside, and followed into office one of the most interesting American politicians of the 20th century. Huey Long came to dominate Louisiana's government, but he also became a national figure whose ideas attracted significant support in the 1930s. In this chapter, we will explore Louisiana in the years between 1920 and 1940. We will see how Huey Long criticized his opponents and used their records to stir up discontent to raise his own political profile. We will also consider how a great natural disaster aided his ambitions. You will learn about Long's many accomplishments, as well as his controversies, review the circumstances of his death, and see how his successors attempted to model themselves after him. Like Long's personal legacy, the legacy of Longism was a mixed one for the state and its people. Section 1. Politics in the 1920s. As you read, look for contrasting views on prohibition in North and South Louisiana, progressive reforms made by Louisiana governors in the 1920s, how Huey Long launched his political career, wide-ranging effects of the Mississippi River flood of 1927, terms, prohibition, public service commission, flood of 1927. Great changes had arrived in Louisiana as the 1920s began. Federal legislation and later the adoption of the 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution made the manufacture and sale of alcohol illegal as of January 1, 1920. Many people in North Louisiana supported prohibition, forbidding by law the making and selling of alcoholic beverages, and had anticipated these changes by banning the sale of alcohol in their own communities years earlier. Prohibition supporters were often motivated by Protestant religious beliefs that barred alcohol consumption. The Catholics, who were dominant in South Louisiana, did not have the same restrictions when it came to alcohol, so the coming of prohibition was less popular and less effective in the state's southern regions. The complex coastline of the southern parishes also aided smuggling. Prohibition was one victory achieved by reformers in the progressive movement. Reforming governors. John Parker was a wealthy and well-regarded Louisiana businessman and planter. He officially became a member of the National Progressive Party, which was organized by his friend and the former U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt. In 1916, Parker ran for governor of Louisiana on the Progressive Party ticket. He lost the race to the Democratic candidate J.Y. Sanders. Afterwards, Parker returned to the Democratic Party and won the state's highest office in 1920. As he entered the governor's office, Parker was determined to continue reforming Louisiana in line with his progressive ideas. He continued a gravel road building program begun by Sanders, but he was hampered by the 1913 Constitution's ban on borrowing money to undertake such projects. This, and many other concerns about the 1913 Constitution, led Parker to call for a new Constitution, which was adopted in 1921. Parker was also praised, at the time for his support of the state's first severance tax. Louisiana's timber and oil resources were generating large profits, but much of that money was leaving the state and enriching businesses and corporations like Standard Oil Company of New Jersey. The creation of a severance tax required companies to pay a set percentage of the value or volume of the natural resources they removed from the land. While some praised Parker for taking this step, others criticized him for letting the oil and timber companies play such a central role in developing legislation and setting rates. Huey Long and the Railroad Commission. For years before he was elected to any political office, Huey Long had been making his ideas known to the state's politicians by writing them letters or printing up circulars and distributing them to legislators. Long had established a successful law practice, mostly defending common people against large businesses and corporations. Because of this, he had a record to run on when he sought election to the state's Railroad Commission in 1918. The Railroad Commission had been created in 1898 to regulate the operations and safety of railroads, steamboats, and other kinds of emerging utilities like telephone and electricity companies. In 1921, the name was changed to the Public Service Commission, the independent state agency that today regulates Louisiana's public utilities and motor carriers. Long won a seat on the 3-member panel and, at the age of 25, formally entered state politics. Huey pursued his role on the commission with great energy, but also in ways that brought him to public notice. By 1921, he became chairman of the commission and used his role to establish a statewide reputation as a champion for common people against utility companies and corporations. He sought to lower rates on gas and electricity, and also to lower railroad and streetcar fares. When he won a fight to make telephone companies pay back an overcharge, he took credit for the small refund checks that flowed back to the customers, all of whom he hoped would one day vote for him. Huey first began a campaign for governor in 1923, promising the construction of a statewide system of modern, paved roads and bridges, including a Mississippi River Bridge. He also promised to improve education for the state's children. He worked tirelessly, visiting the smallest towns and most remote farms. He was able to secure a loyal voting bloc among the state's isolated rural people, who often felt ignored by the powerful politicians in Baton Rouge. In the 1924 election, he polled very strongly in North Louisiana, but very badly in cities, especially in New Orleans. He knew he would have to find ways to appeal to city voters the next time around, and for him, there was never any question that there would be a next time. The 1927 flood. The flood of 1927 was one of the worst natural disasters in the nation's history. Persistent rains fell across the Midwest and Mississippi Valley through the spring of the year. Those rains, combined with the usual spring flooding, contributed to the massive Mississippi River flood. Unfortunately, the levees-only policy previously adopted by the Army Corps of Engineers to control the river and protect cities actually made the flooding worse. When the river channel could not hold the rainfall and flooding in 1927, the levees were overtopped or breached as far north as Illinois. Flooding extended all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. In some places, flooding spread more than 50 miles beyond the river's banks. Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana suffered the worst, with floodwaters overtopping or breaching the levees in more than 100 locations. The Citizens Flood Relief Committee. New Orleans business leaders worried about what would happen to commerce if the city and its port facilities should flood. A group of powerful and wealthy men formed an organization called the Citizens Flood Relief Committee. Although they originally had no authorization from state or local government, the men decided that keeping New Orleans safe from flooding was their top priority. They developed a plan to dynamite the levees below New Orleans to ease pressure on the levees in the city. The people who would be flooded were mostly poor white residents of St. Bernard and Plaquemines Parish. They and their parish leaders were unhappy about the idea and clashed with the committee members. The members of the Citizens Flood Relief Committee promised to make payments to people who would be flooded and to provide them temporary housing in New Orleans until the water receded. With the blessing of state officials, the dynamiting went ahead at Carnarvon, located about a dozen miles downriver from New Orleans. Beginning on April 29th and continuing for 10 days, officials used 39 tons of dynamite to open a gap that they hoped would keep the city of New Orleans safe. Political impact. President Calvin Coolidge sent Herbert Hoover to assist with flood relief. In part, the perception of Hoover's success in helping the desperate people after a flood contributed to his victory in the presidential election of 1928. Huey Long's political fortunes also received a boost from the discontent caused by the flood. Many of the poor had become poorer. Long's populist message, which focused on the needs of the common people, had great resonance, significance, importance for people who felt that those in power disregarded their needs. Long was swept into the governor's office in the aftermath of the flood.